EBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media
ABC
app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. The first major Republican presidential event is underway tonight at an annual Iowa dinner. Candidates making brief speeches to some of the first-in-the-nation voters. Here's ABC's Dave Packer.
Former President Trump, leading in Iowa polls, has made few appearances with other GOP candidates. This evening's Lincoln dinner in Des Moines will give voters a chance to see him among 13 other Republicans vying for the nomination, including number two polling Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Each candidate will have 10 minutes to address the crowd.
President Biden visiting Maine for the first time since he took office at a textile plant in Auburn, promoting his Bidenomics agenda.
Because unemployment has been so low for so long, workers have been left behind for decades, aren't just finding jobs, more jobs. They're finding better jobs with higher pay.
President Biden also announcing a $345 million military aid package for Taiwan. It will likely anger China, which considers Taiwan a breakaway province. This is ABC News. Lotto fever is back. Just a week after someone in California who's yet to turn in the ticket won over $1 billion playing Powerball, there's another big jackpot tonight.
$940 million. That's a jackpot for tonight's Mega Millions drawing. You want the cash? That'll be $473 million you'd get. And it's not your imagination if it seems there are bigger jackpots more often, says Gretchen Corbin with the Mega Millions Consortium.
The Mega Millions Consortium, as well as the Powerball team, really changed the matrix of the jackpots.
Both Mega Millions and Powerball increased prices and added drawing days in the week so the money grows faster and people play more often. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Prague Tennis Open organizers today announcing they will not let Russian and Belarusian players participate. One Russian competitor stopped from entering the country Thursday. Czech government banning athletes from Russia and Belarus because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Andy Field, ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know. There are more warnings to speeders from the Fond du Lac County Sheriff's Department. Civic Media's Melissa Kay reports.
The Sheriff's Department has been actively trying to keep lead-foot drivers in check this summer. In some cases, deputies have seen cars doing well over 100 miles per hour. According to a post on the department Facebook page, the current reminder was inspired by a radar gun reading that clocked a driver doing 105 on Highway 41. Authorities say the reminders come in an effort to keep people safe with so many more cars on the highway due to EAA visitors. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Taco Bell has a new product, a grilled cheese taco with shredded beef in the middle that you can dip into a cheese or red sauce. It will be available August 3rd for a limited time, meaning you'll only have to sleep on your stomach temporarily. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
The Todd Alba Show.
I've been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know what you're going to give bipartisan bipartisan praise that they're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app, The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Think Tank approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. Crazy, crazy day. One of these kind of days where you just go, beam me up, Scotty. If the religious right is correct and the end times are upon us and the spaceship is coming and they're going to be left behind, folks, and you know the beam is coming now, please take, let's go. Because the stories that I came across this morning just wanted to hit myself in the head a bunch of times. In fact, have, because Watch the Water was trending on Twitter. And evidently a documentary by the Q Kooks. Evidently the conspiracy is COVID. It has something to do with Satan. And I don't quite get it. I'm waiting for my Q folk to explain this a little bit better. Something along the lines of COVID-19. Is actually something of a synthesized form of snake venom that has Satan's DNA in it, and that by drinking some kind of water, you end up ingesting it. And it's and I'm going, whoa, wait a second. how did this, and I'm trying to figure out how. Is it the COVID-19? Is it the vaccine? Where did Satan's blood come from? There's so many questions. And look, it's easy to mock. It's easy to mock, but you know, where did Satan's blood come from? Is it Ted Cruz? Is Ted Cruz Satan? And you know, where's Dana Carvey when I need him? You know, wasn't he the church lady? Didn't he do the Satan? I mean, because that was in my head all day long, going, this, and look, you know, I remember being in school learning about, you know, horrible times in history where people were brainwashed and did really dumb things and allowed really bad stuff to happen. And I go, you know, I remember going, how could you let that happen? How could you remain silent? How could you fall for something as stupid as, you know, there's snake blood. And Satan's DNA. What? But then again, you know, we lived through the pandemic where we watched people say, I don't need me no vaccine. I'm drenched in the blood of Jesus. And no one goes, maybe we need people in white coats to take that person away. There's a mental illness there. And look, I think there's a collective mental health crisis going on in this country, because this wasn't even the worst story of the day. This is the one that made me laugh. This is the one that brought a smile to my face. I'm going, Satan's blood. That's okay. Why not? I guess, you know, if you're going to have a conspiracy theory, a snake, you know, we got a book that's based on a snake and an apple and a tree and a rib and a pile of sand. Sure, why not? Makes for good fairy tales. But then I saw this, a listener sent me a clip of Chuck Grassley at a town hall. And this is where it gets deadly serious. This is where you go, oh my goodness, people take this stuff serious. There's true, true mental illness in our world. Guy's asking Chuck Grassley about why we're not supporting Putin, because Putin is fighting against pedophiles in Ukraine. Now, nobody's heard that before. That's new. Evidently, somewhere in his world, Vladimir Putin is out there fighting against some pedophile in Ukraine that we... Now, are there pedophiles in Ukraine? Probably are there pedophiles here. Are they rampant? Not the way the Q folk seem to think they are around every corner, and everyone they disagree with is a pedophile. And I don't remember that being Vlad's reasoning. But this guy was justifying what Putin was doing because they're pedophiles, because they're neo-Nazis and Nazis. They got the new ones and the old ones. They're bio labs, evidently. And you go, yeah, we've had labs around the world for a very, very long time. It's kind of insane. And just this laundry list of so much that they believe, that they've internalized, that they absolutely know to be true, that is just flipping nuts. And these are the people who, and this is what's most frightening about these folks. This is what's most frightening about what's happened on the Republican side, because these are the alpha personalities anyway. These are the people who, they think they know something. They're going to be the loudest in the room. Someone has given them a talking point. Someone has given them something to regurgitate ad nauseum, and they feel emboldened. They feel empowered to stand up and spew. And they do. And in this meeting, this person unabashedly spoke out, and he, without fear of reprisal, shame, or being mocked. And look, Chuck Grassley didn't mock him, as where any sane, rational person would go, where are you getting this stuff? What is wrong with you? Where someone should just shake them and go, I'm helping you. I'm helping you to, rattle something between your ears. But this is what's gone on in this country for far too long, is we haven't called out insanity. We haven't called out people who are telling outright lies. In fact, we've got a whole F channel that does nothing but that. Because there's a whole media industry profiting mightily off of poisoning with, might as well say it, Satan's DNA and snake blood. Because, hey, they'll sell it to you. Hey, they got beet juice, got Satan's DNA in it. Who knows? Might have Satan's DNA in it. Can I not ask the question, does it have Satan's DNA in it? This is how crazy we've gotten. And these people feel empowered and emboldened because they believe. Now, I came across a threat. A gentleman's talking about he and his husband. Think what you want about same-sex marriage. I personally don't care. None of my business. Two people want to get married. God bless them. Hope they lead a happy life. It's on them. They have two children that they've adopted. They've decided to give a loving home to. good on them. I hope the best for the kids. But as they're telling the story of riding on the Amtrak train, they said they had about a 9-hour pleasant ride until some man decided to jump up and begin screaming at him in front of their 6-year-old son. Remember what I told you. They stole you. They're pedophiles. At this child, at a 6-year-old. Turns out, this guy had seen this child in the bathroom and filled this kid's head with this kind of stuff. Now, here's where this gets interesting, because these are the people who are saying, you know, the left, you know, the gays, they're the pedophiles, they're the groomers, they're the ones in the bathroom doing all this nefarious stuff. And yet, where did this incident take place? That's right, in the bathroom. Now, me personally, if I'm one of these two gentlemen, I usher the children out of the room and I beat the living you-know-what out of this guy. There's nothing left of him when I am done. There's no tolerance. There's no understanding. There is nothing left of this. But that's just me. The restraint that these two guys showed, the tolerance that these two gentlemen showed, all I can say is they must be Buddhist, because I can't imagine showing. You would have approached my child in a bathroom like this, and you would have said those things to my child about me. We would have had problems. Now this guy goes on and says, "Look, you know, this guy was yelling at us, that, you know, mocking my family when I said, you know, I said, this is my family." He goes, "You're not a family. You're rapists. You steal Black and Asian kids." I mean, the most vile kind of things this person was saying on a train, and no one spoke up. And the reason I bring this up, and the story that this guy tells in Twitter form is just horrible. And you go, how did we get here? Look, you can be against gay marriage, and you keep that to yourself. You can be against same-sex couples adopting children, and you shut the blank up, and you keep it to yourself. Because you know what? It's not on you. It's these moments when these people feel they have the right to attack people in public. And it's going to get worse. Trust me, this is going to get much worse. And understand, this is not my field of interest. This is not my want to be talking about these topics. You know, gay marriage? No, not my interest. Abortion? Certainly not my field of interest. But these are people who want to repeal the America I grew up in, where we had decided law, where there was stability. They want to return us to a day, well, of desperation. They want to return us to a day of some kind of bizarre puritanical rule that, you know, maybe it's not me today, but it's going to be, because none of us are going to be perfect enough. None of us are going to be ideologically aligned enough. And what happens if it's our children? Now, there was a story, I believe from Connecticut, Vice had it, that this is one of those things where you just go, what is going on? Evidently, a school nurse in Connecticut found out that an 11-year-old girl was on puberty blockers. Now, I have no idea how I would react if a child of mine said, "Hey, look, I was born a boy, I want to be a girl. I was born a girl, I want to be a boy." I have no idea how I would deal with that. And I've been very open and honest. I don't understand it. I have friends who have transitioned. I still don't. I'm never going to understand it. But I do know one thing. I know the government should not be involved in that. I know I don't want their opinion. I don't want their guidance. I want nothing. I want them to have nothing to do with it. And I know the local school and the school nurse outing that to crazy right-wing groups so that I'm attacked in public is certainly not what should happen. This woman should be this Kathleen Catiford. She should have been fired immediately, if not sooner. And I'm hoping that they're going to sue this woman, as well as the school district, and that should happen. But again, all of these crazy right-wing groups went after this family and attacked them. This is a family issue. And these are the people who tell you, we want smaller, less intrusive government. We want parental rights. Like I said, I don't know the answers, but I know what's not. It's like the Supreme Court said about obscenity. You'll know it when you see it. This is obscenity. Again, I don't know how I would react, but this ain't it. And for those of us who, again, not my issues, but I would hope in the moment, and this is where we've got to dig inside of ourselves and say, in the moment, we've got to stand up for what's right and what's decent. And when people are attacked, whether you agree with what's going on, when people are attacked in the most obscene ways, I think people have to stand up and say no, no more. And I fear this November is going to be a bloodshed moment in this country. I think electorally, I think Democrats are going to get just wiped out. And maybe that's going to be a good thing. Maybe the crazy of the crazy, maybe they're going to take over. And maybe we're going to have to live through a couple of years of real obscenity before the decent people who have been tolerating this kind of behavior and this kind of mental illness finally wake up and say no more. Maybe that's where we've got to go. Love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com, or give us a call, 1-866-416-RICK, 1-866-416-7425. Love to hear your thoughts. Have you ever come across something like this? Have you ever spoken out? I'd love to hear it. Also, if you're just joining us, make sure you grab the podcast. Never missed a second of the fabulous program that we do here. Again, make sure you check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Thanks for being here. Quick break, right back.
If you're a fan of the show, you've heard our Labor History in Two segments, and you can hear them on the radio pretty much anywhere in the U.S. Labor history has never been more important than it is right now. So here's what we'd like you to do. Tell a teacher. Tell a teacher that labor history is important and that they can get digestible two-minute lessons that are absolutely free. Free to download, free to use, free to share. Tell a teacher to go to thericksmithshow.com/history and help us put labor back where it belongs, in the classroom. You know, generations of American workers fought, bled, and died to build the American way of life. It's our job to keep their stories alive. Go tell a teacher that we're here to help them do just that. Find us at thericksmithshow.com/history today.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Good old Herschel Walker. Yeah, Herschel Walker. Did you hear the clip of him on the Howard Stern Show a couple years ago saying that he plays Russian roulette because he just loves competition? You go, wait a second. How is playing Russian roulette competition? It's a luck of the draw thing. You were lucky not to blow your stupid brains out. I mean, that's not competition. There's no skill in that. There is, you didn't blow your brains out. But hey, here's a guy who, not surprising at all. This is a guy who, evidently he claims he owned a bunch of companies that actually never existed. Again, not surprising. And also, hey, they're blocking out, and this is good. This is a good thing since he's going to be a senator from Georgia, I predict. they're blocking out policy time where they're going to have people come in with pictures and pop-up books, and they're going to explain how Senate works. Yeah. Yay. Let's go to the phone lines. Got Alice on line one. Alice, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm not good. I'm looking at the world around me. I'm looking at the fact that Herschel Walker was probably going to sit in the U.S. Senate, and I'm going, I thought Tommy Tuberville was the bottom of the Senate barrel, and, well, a guy who, you know, he thinks competition is not blowing his brains out. Somehow that's, I guess we're going to go a little lower.
I know. Well, Herschel Walker, you know what, when I was married to my first husband 40-some years ago, we used to laugh at him because he was so stupid. But anyways.
Yeah, but you married him.
Well, that was my... No, honey. My first husband wasn't
stupid. Okay,
he was a very
okay.
intelligent man.
Got it.
Herschel Walker was stupid.
Got it, okay.
Okay, but...
I caught on. I'm slow. Go.
Okay. You were saying about, you know, what you would have done. Well, I'm going to tell you what. You would love my idea. I have this idea. It's called, we should add nationwide a new law. It's called simple aggravated assault. And what happens is you run across one of these lunatics, and you just smack them around all you want. You go in front of the judge, and you go, it was simple aggravated assault, Your Honor. They're freaking simple. I got aggravated, and thus they got assaulted. And the judge says, $10, and you go, hot dog, and it's a done deal.
I think that's how it used to be back in the old days. You know, my grandfather would have loved that one.
But, you know, they're crazy. I got into it. Well, my poor husband, he's like, my husband is the laid back one. No, I'm laid back, but you don't want to push buttons. We're in Shop and Save, and they started on the poor little cashier girl because she had tattoos. Yeah, I was ready to throw down in the middle of Shop and Save, and my husband's going, settle down, you're going to get us thrown out of Shop and Save. But I ran my mouth, and, you know, that was that. So, yes, they're out of control.
Yeah.
And you're right, they are mentally ill. Many, many, many years ago, about a century ago, they actually used to have a mental illness that was called religious fanaticism. And literally, they would take people and they would put them in the mental institute till they got over it.
Yeah, but then we closed all the state hospitals, and now we've put them in churches. Yay.
I know, wasn't Reagan wonderful? Sarcasm intended. Okay, you have a good evening.
Thanks, Alice. Appreciate it. No, look, I'm not mocking people of faith who, you know, work to be decent people. Look, I believe people of faith who use faith moderately and work to make themselves better. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about these extremists, these radicals, these people who every day, you know, the judgmental ones who are, you know, the people who are going to go on a train and attack somebody like this guy did. I mean, I'm worried for the direction of this country because, you know, these are the people who are saying, you know, this isn't the country I want to grow up in. Well, you can leave. It's scary the kind of abuses that these folks are willing to heap on the rest of us. All because they're concerned about what everyone else is doing. I was reading an interesting bit. The New York Times has been doing these focus groups. And they had today was 8 conservative men. And they all, it was hysterical, because they all agreed, you know, I can't speak my mind without fear of somebody, you know, being upset by it. Yeah, because you're saying stupid stuff. Don't say outrageous stuff. Don't say dumb stuff. And people won't think you're an idiot. I mean, that has never changed. You know, even when I was a kid, if you said something dumb, someone slapped you, and you didn't say dumb stuff anymore. It hasn't changed. The difference is, and again, I've said this for years, the second we stopped letting little boys smack each other around in the sandbox is the second the country went to pot, because the people felt there was no there was no recourse. And they could say whatever they want. And social media has just magnified this to where people are literally the worst of themselves. And they don't check their tone. They don't check their tongue. They don't not say the worst possible things. Now we seem to get attention for being the worst version of ourselves. And maybe what we need is maybe we do need, you know, some aggravated simple assault charges to happen. Now, I would hope, and this is what I told a friend of mine today, is I would hope no jury in the land would ever convict on a scenario like that, because I know I wouldn't. I know if I were a jury of someone's peers and someone said, hey, they met my kid in the bathroom, called me a pedophile, said I was a rapist, and I beat the guy up, I wouldn't convict. Would you? I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick at thericksmithshow.com. Going to take a quick break right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1873. That was the day the single most deadly incident of the Reconstruction era occurred, known as the Colfax Massacre. As many as 150 black Republicans in Colfax, Louisiana, were slaughtered by white supremacists determined to destroy advances made by the formerly enslaved. Results of the 1872 gubernatorial election in Louisiana had been hotly contested. President Ulysses S. Grant ordered federal troops in to support the Republican winner, William Pitt Kellogg. A number of black radical Republicans had also won or retained local and state political positions. William Ward, a black Civil War veteran and militia leader, had won a seat in the state legislature. By the beginning of April, he and others were being threatened with attacks on the Grant Parish Courthouse in Colfax and lynchings by defeated white Southern Democrats. Desperate for backup, Ward and others left for New Orleans to appeal for federal reinforcement. On the Holy Easter Sunday, ex-Confederates, Klansmen, and Democrats rode into Colfax armed with guns, rifles, knives, and a cannon. 150 black Republicans were ready to defend their courthouse. Fighting raged on for hours, but eventually black Republicans were forced to retreat and then were massacred. 97 whites were indicted on federal conspiracy charges under the 1870 Enforcement Act, designed to enforce civil rights and root out Klan terror. The case went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court and resulted in the ruling United States versus Cruikshank, which essentially gutted the Enforcement Act. Of the 97 indicted, 9 were tried, and 3 were initially found guilty. The Cruikshank ruling eventually overturned their convictions and effectively marked the legal end of Reconstruction. Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
I think we can now say the obvious. The Republican Party has gone bull goose bonkers. Its leaders have turned the once proud GOP brand into an unprincipled gaggle of corporate profiteers, hate mongers, and screwball conspiracy theorists. They're so far out that the Hubble telescope couldn't find them. But where is my Democratic Party? Here's a transformative opportunity to forge a solid political coalition, a multiracial, urban-rural, farm-labor alliance based on fundamental principles and programs of fairness and opportunity for all. Isn't that what the party says it stands for? This is the prime time to demonstrate it, to reach out and unite ordinary Americans behind a national agenda of lasting progressive change. It's not like the party elders would have to start from scratch for an energized, feisty movement of grassroots battlers against corporate greed and government injustice is already organizing, winning, and growing popular support all across the country. But rather than welcoming and building on the exciting advances of these popular movements, the party's old-line insider clique of big funders, consultants, and corporate politicos passively assume that the GOP's goofiness and nastiness will turn off enough voters that Democrats can win by default. Meanwhile, the establishment insists that Democrats only push modest incremental reforms so as not to offend corporate funders or spook moderate Republicans. Hello? Brilliant strategists, a primary function of the Democratic Party is to offend the corporate powers. Also, there are only about 6 moderate Republicans left in America, so appeasing them is not a big win, especially when it costs you the support of grassroots voters eager for a politics bold enough and big enough to end business as usual economics. This is Jim Hightower saying, as our own history teaches, it takes intentional gutsiness to create a politics that matters. Republicans won't do that. Will Democrats?
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So this is one of those things where you just go, yeah, well, it's Marjorie Taylor Greene, so anything could come out of her mouth. But evidently she was on a podcast with Lou Dobbs, and she's questioning the quality of people at the Department of Defense and questioning why anyone would join the military and, how did she put it, why they would waste their time? You know, the way that they're treated, why would anybody join the military? And this is one of those things where, you know, how low will these people go? And the question, the answer is, well, pretty damn low, as we have seen. And like I said earlier, if you saw the video clip of the Grassley town hall where, you know, we're supporting Putin because he's fighting pedophiles. That's scary kind of stuff. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on, well, where things are, why we're where we are, and maybe is it going to get any worse? I've asked my good friend Joe Walsh to come talk with us. Joe is a former Illinois congressman, former presidential candidate, also talk radio host. He is the host of the fabulous White Flag with Joe Walsh podcast with the Bravery Project. Joe, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick, I always like to be with you. And to answer your last question, yes, it will get worse. It most certainly will.
Well, I've predicted, look, the Republicans are going to take over the House and Senate. It's going to be a bloodbath in November, I believe. And I think Marjorie Taylor Greene will be the least of the crazy in the next House, because I think it's going to get worse, because I look at some of the people who are running. It can only get worse. And I think maybe that's going to be probably a long term, maybe a good thing on a certain level.
Hey, Rick, the Democrats have a real problem. And I know you know where I'm coming from. I believe my former political party is the greatest threat to our democracy right now. And yet the Republicans are going to take back the House. They're probably going to take back the Senate. And I got to tell you, Rick, we're talking about a political party that denies basic truths. They've given up on democracy and they embrace authoritarianism. But if I'm a Democrat, I've got to do some soul searching, because this party, the Republican Party, is going to take back control in 22. And if the Democrats don't get their act together, they may take back the White House in 24. Democrats need to do some soul searching.
So where do you see that soul searching? Because, you know, look, the inflation thing is just killing them. The fact that Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema are in the way, you can't get any legislation moved, that's a big part of it. What else do you see as a problem?
You may disagree with me, but I'm going to say it, Rick. I don't think the Democratic Party anymore knows how to talk to, listen to, relate to, or fight for working class, middle class Americans. I don't. I think
we don't disagree.
I think the Democrats are elitist. I think wokeism is important, but they're obsessed with issues that, as you said, right now, working class Americans don't give a you know what about. And they're pissed off at Democrats, these voters are, even though they know deep down the Republicans are dangerous.
No, we don't disagree on this. You know, but one of the things that I talk about quite often is I like the fact that Jennifer Abruzzo at the National Labor Relations, the general counsel of the National Labor Relations Board, is doing a lot of things to help working class folks. I think she's doing the right stuff. I think Biden is doing some really good stuff for working people. I just don't think we're seeing or hearing enough about it. And you're right. I think the mainstream corporate controlled media is focusing on all of the wrong stuff. And I think Democrats have really drugged their feet on January 6th. I think they've really drugged their feet on a lot of things that should have been moving a lot faster. Their messaging is terrible. And you're right on the working class issues. You know, I've said for a very long time, when it comes to a street fight, you know, Democrats will be happy to hold your coat, but they're not going to ball up their digits and get in there and swing away. And I want them to. More than anything, do I want them to.
And Rick, who is that? I'm no longer a Republican, but Republicans will do damn near anything to succeed and win. Who is the Democrat who will fight? Who is the Democrat who will figuratively punch the other side in the face. I like Biden. Biden's 80 years old. I do not see a Democrat right now. I don't. And this is really striking. I don't see a Democrat who can get down and dirty and fight for the middle class. I don't.
I like Tim Ryan. I like Sherrod Brown. I really like Sherrod Brown.
Yeah.
I like Andy Levin. I like some of those folks. But you're right. I mean, there aren't a lot of them. There aren't a lot of people who are going to go to the mat. Whereas Republicans, and this is where I've been saying for a very long time, this isn't new. I mean, we're talking decades. And this is why I think the white working class has moved toward Republicans. Is I think they believe that guys like you are going to fight for them, even if I believe you're fighting the wrong fights and pursuing the wrong policies and harming things in the wrong ways. At least you're putting up a fight. And I think that is something that the white working class, especially white working class males, are drawn to.
True. But Rick, let's not lose sight of the fact that the Democratic Party is losing the Hispanic working class vote. More and more each election. They lose a little bit of the black working class vote every single election. I mean, think about this. We're paying what at the pump right now, and we've got leading Democrats talking right now about green energy. Right now? I mean, right now? And I don't think Biden has been able, I don't think he's done a very good job of banging heads in his own party to be unified on one message these past 2 years.
No, I don't disagree with that. And look, for me, I came out and I said, you know, when he said we were going to do all the stuff in Russia, I said he should have come out. We're forgiving all gas taxes. We're going to pick this up with a windfall profit tax and go after any senator who votes against it so that we make sure that we keep the gas taxes paid so we can fund our roads and all that stuff. But so that the prices didn't hurt as much. And then, using the strategic reserve to make sure we go after speculators. There are things that he could do beyond what's been done. But I like the fact that he's using some of the strategic reserve. I just wish it was a little bit more, I don't know, strategic.
Well, and again, Rick, you and I may differ. I wish, and this is just a fundamental policy difference, but I think working class people get it, who work hard every day, live paycheck to paycheck, are paying for gas every single week. We need to be energy independent. We have a hell of a lot of energy here, and we need to be the greatest nation in the country and use our entrepreneurs to figure out the best and cleanest ways that we can get our own energy here and always be energy independent. And I don't hear that talk from the Democrats at all.
Yeah, but this is where, Joe, and we will agree on this. The difference is I would like to see us move in a direction where we should have been moving the last 40 years. The idea of building, solar farms.
Yes.
and building more wind farms, geothermal, the next generation of technology.
Yes.
In this
Yes.
moment, this should be Manhattan Project kind of, we need to do this now. If not now, then when? Look, I know we'll probably disagree about the Keystone XL pipeline, but that was never going to help us, Joe. That oil was going into the international community. It was never staying here.
I know that. I know that about Keystone, and I agree with you about Keystone, and I agree with you about transitioning to clean, to green energy. But man, it's a transition.
Right.
We are not going to be there overnight. We're not going to be there. I mean, look, Putin does what he does, and you've got Democrats in Congress, AOC and others a few weeks ago saying, now this is our opportunity. Use this now to go to push real hard for green energy now. No, not now. Yes, transition, but that's not going to help pay for people who are paying for gas right now. It's got to be a transition. And Rick, Biden has done a lousy job of describing this.
No, Democrats need to do a much better job of getting out and really doing messaging better. But here's the thing, and this is where we can argue about gas prices. Reality is a lot of this has to do with the big oil companies and the fact that, you know, they're trying to reap a lot of the benefits and the profits out of this. In fact, there was that call a couple of weeks ago where the energy company said, we're not going to drill more. You know, this idea that, oh, we need more leases, we need more. There are already leases out that you know as well as anyone. There are thousands of leases out there. They're just not doing it. So I said from the beginning, Biden should have done like FDR would have done. Let's nationalize the oil companies during this moment. We'll drill as much as we need to. And then once we get out of this crisis, you can go back to it. I think just the threat of that would make them drill more.
Well, bad policy, maybe the threat, but I don't think the Democrats, Rick, are even there. I don't think they would want to nationalize the oil industry to drill here because they don't want us drilling. I think the Democratic Party fundamentally, I believe, on this issue is not where most average Americans are. It is a transition, but Democrats present it like it's overnight, and we can't get there overnight.
Yeah, it's neither that or the other thing. You listen to the Rick Smith Show. We're here with Joe Walsh, former Illinois congressman, former presidential candidate.
Rick, having said all of this, the Republicans are crazy and they're scary and they're dangerous. And everything I'm saying to you right now as a former Republican is because I don't want the Republicans to take back the House and the Senate. That would scare the hell out of me. I wish I could shake the Democratic Party up, but I'm not a Democrat.
Yeah. No, and look, and this is helpful, and I think we should be doing having more of these conversations. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show with Joe Walsh, former Illinois congressman, presidential candidate, 2020. His podcast, The White Flag with Joe Walsh. You can find that wherever you grab your podcasts. But here's the thing, Joe, and like you said, I think 2022 is going to be a bloodbath year. Fear I have out of this is I don't think that the Republicans are going to sit idly by and allow it to be a lame duck. I do think they're going to move on trying to impeach Biden. I do think that's going to be kind of an ugly couple of years. I'm curious what your thoughts are.
It will be an ugly couple of years. I know there's a lot of bluster, and you even had somebody like Ted Cruz come out and say, we're going to impeach Joe Biden. For what? I think at the end of the day, there's nothing they can do. But I do agree with you. They're going to spend 2 years doing whatever they can to investigate Joe Biden and investigate Hunter Biden and really just kind of make a big mess of things for 2 years. Because the overlay, Rick, here is that as soon as the Republicans take back control of the House and maybe the Senate, Trump early next year is going to announce he's run for president. And then once again, the Republicans are going to line up behind him. That's going to be the focus.
Now, do you think, you know, I think Frank Luntz came out today and said that he doesn't think that Trump's got an iron grip on the Republican Party, that he's losing his grip on the party. Do you think Trump's losing his grip?
Not at all. And I get tired of people like Frank Luntz trying to tell the American. There's such wishful thinking going on here, right? So many of these pollsters, even like Republican pollsters like Luntz, deep down, they want Trump to go away. Deep down, every Republican in Congress, most everyone, wants Trump to go away. So there's a lot of wishful thinking. But bullcrap, no. His hold on the party has not lessened. When he announces he's running, Rick, no Republican will challenge him. That's all you need to know.
When I saw that, my thought went into two different directions. My thought was, is it possible Republicans are seeing, you know, the craziness going on, the snake blood with the Satan's DNA stories and maybe trying to pull back a little bit? Or where I think things could possibly go is further off the rails, and even Trump isn't crazy enough for where things are going. And that's where my mind is taking us, that even Trump isn't as far enough off the beaten path for the Republican Party in this moment.
Well, Rick, that's a great, great point, because imagine that. Imagine another 8 to 10 Marjorie Taylor Greens in the House after this next election.
I do.
And that in a way that presents a weird opportunity for Trump, because he can be the Republican nominee and know he's got that crazy base. But he can come across to independents and even some moderate Democrats as not as crazy. I'm not saying he'll take advantage of this opportunity, but because the crazies in the Republican Party, I think you're right, are going to go even more off next year, it'll help Trump come across, I think, as more moderate, which is scary.
So let me ask you a last line of questioning, because where my thinking on this is this is going to happen. They're going to go further and further, because I look at some of the Q kooks that I run into. I look at some of the people who are running, and Boebert and Green are going to become kind of normal after this election, if you can imagine that. And I think there's got to be a collective moment in this country where we go, you know, is this sideshow? Is this the way we want government to run? And we continue down that path, or there's going to be a correction. And I'm hoping that good, decent, honest people go, no, we need a correction. And I know you're shaking your head, and I'm hoping there's that moment where people like you, because look, you know, in 2010, I thought you were off your flipping rocker. If you can come to sanity and we can have conversations I never imagined, maybe some of these folks, we can do it too. So I guess let me open it up. Let you get your thought.
I love you like a brother. But I do not believe the course correction is coming anytime soon. In fact, Rick, I'll tell you this. I believe there'll be a third major political party, a viable major political party, before the Republican Party ever gets its act together. I don't believe the Republican Party ever will get its act together. So, no, I don't see that course correction. I do believe there'll be something's going to replace it, though, because most Americans don't want that. No time soon.
Well, going to be an interesting couple years. Going to be an interesting ride, if nothing else.
Rick, this is a revolutionary moment in American politics. I really believe that. Trump is just the latest, ugliest manifestation of that. We're in for a bumpy ride for a lot of years.
And I hope you'll be here with us and for a front row seat. Joe, I appreciate the time, man. As always, great stuff.
Always, Rick. Thank you, man.
Good stuff. Our good friend Joe Walsh. Make sure you check out his podcast. He was doing the F Silence one. Now the White Flag with Joe Walsh. Make sure you get that. We'll get links out on how you can check that out. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. If you got a question, comment, thought, something, I want to hear it. Give us a call. 1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. This is The Rick Smith Show. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1903. That was the day that 25 delegates from 17 cities gathered in Washington, D.C. to discuss forming a union for laborers. General laborers, who often perform some of the most backbreaking work on projects like digging canals and surfacing streets, were often blocked from joining craft unions as full members. The laborers in D.C. decided it was time to join together and formed the International Hod Carriers and Building Laborers Union. That was the beginning of the union that today is called the Laborers International Union of North America, or LIUNA. The union published its first constitution in English, German, and Italian, reflecting the diversity of the members that they represented. At the convention, the delegates issued a declaration of principles. In it, they declared, quote, "We hold that all men are created free and equal, and that honor and merit makes the man, and that self-preservation is the first law of nature, and that he who would be free must strike the first blow." They then went on to describe their purpose, writing, quote, "First, to gather under one grand banner all of those who toil on buildings with our craft and calling. Second, to promote by all honorable means the social and financial standing of all those who wish to partake in the fruits of amalgamation. Third, to create general agitation for the purpose of making a universal 8-hour day to increase the wages of members of the craft. Fourth, to establish a system of conciliation and arbitration in different sections of our land. Fifth, to help members of the craft in securing lawful and profitable employment. For more than a century, LIUNA has fought for the rights of laborers.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, you listen to Joe Walsh, it's not good days ahead. And look, you know, he's got some accurate criticisms. The administration, I don't think, has done a good enough job on messaging. I don't think he's done a good enough job on preparing for the costs of the oil inflation. And look, we've got a lot of things going on. Let's go to line one. We've got Jim from Chicago. Jim, how are you, buddy?
Good. Couple of things quickly. You know, I know we were talking about the QAnon thing, about the snakes and the blood of the devil. I recall one of Trump's advisors in the early days, a woman whose last name was Conway. Her first name escapes me. Her husband was a big Trump detractor. She was one that was big about presenting people with alternative facts. And I think anybody with half a brain could look at this and figure out what the fact is and what the reality is. And I would kind of probably stress to people, simply think like this in a way. An opinion is an opinion, and a fact is a fact. And look at the facts before you state your opinions. I don't know if I totally agree with you with the beating somebody up, but in the situation you talked about, I think it might be called for. And real quickly, I agree with you totally about the messaging. The Democrats, they need to get their act together. And Joe Walsh, I was kind of surprised to hear you're a fan of his. He said a lot of crazy stuff back in the day. Maybe he's found religion, but I myself liked him better when he was a singer. I appreciate your time. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Jim. No, to be honest, Joe's had a conversion. You know, he realized he was a bit vitriolic in the day, and you know he's I think you know he came out you know at a time when Trump was a lunatic. And I give him credit for that. Now, on policy stuff, we're going to disagree. But on this, on democracy, on saving this country, we're on the same page. We're kindred spirits. Let's go to Kurt on line three. Kurt, how are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm good, Rick. How about yourself?
I am outstanding. What's on your mind, buddy?
I got something good for you. You're going to like this. So my little political group, the Starfish Environmental Group.
Uh-huh.
We're 501c4 now. And I've always been against super PACs, but we're going to be a little bit different than, you know, what we know about super PACs. And our board of directors is made up of women of color. And I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what we grow into now, and I think it's going to be really a really good thing for grassroots candidates that we support, that we'll be able to help them in ways that the grassroots candidates struggle with, and it's going to be a really good thing.
Good for you, brother. Yeah, look, yeah, I wish they didn't exist, but you know, you got to use the tools that are out there, and it's a tool that's out there that you've got to fight with. You can't be tying your hands behind your back. I know people, we can't use them. It is what it is. You got to use the tools that are available.
Right. And there is a way of using them in a good way.
Yep.
Instead of, doing shady stuff and, you know, all that we know about these things. So
good for you.
We're working with Senator Jeff Merkley's staff on some legislative stuff. And I think this will, you know, kind of give us a little bit more of a platform to be able to do things like that. And so there's some good things that are going to come from it. And I'll pass it your way when we get going here.
Outstanding. Appreciate it, Kurt. Keep up the good fight out there in Arizona.
All right. Thanks, Rick.
Yep. No, I mean, look, at the end of the day, you got to put up the fight. And while I'm predicting there's going to be, you know, an electoral bloodbath in November, it's not certain. And this is where working people can stand up and fight back. As I said, I think Biden is doing for working people some good things. While I think the messaging isn't there, I think Democrats are scattered all over the map. They're not the Republicans. They're not run by one entity. They're the big tent. Remember that. They've got Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, which stand in the way of a lot getting done. In fact, speaking of Kyrsten Sinema, she came out and said that, if they start negotiating again on Build Back Better and on anything else, one of her guiding principles is she's opposed to raising the corporate minimum tax. Sorry, can't raise those corporate taxes to pay for stuff that we need, even though we know corporate America is raking in massive, massive profits. All this inflation that's going on, a lot of it is good old fat.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.